Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Around my neck, I'm taking my freedom.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
I've been a little on the reflective side in recent weeks, maybe even months. I'm Carrie Hines, and as we kind of wind down to this immense celebration of the Hair Radio Morning Show, I have to say, I have to look ahead. What's next in the journey? Many folks always come up and tell me how remarkable what we've accomplished together has done and what it means to them in their lives. This is not lost on me. I appreciate it. And we have some things that I think you're going to be surprised about. If you think you know everything about Hair Radio, you don't. But we're excited that we get to kind of unveil them together. And this journey really, really does continue. I'm just as enthralled as I was my very first day on the air with the Morning Edition. And that has no chance of slowing up. So as I continue, as we continue, as we welcome new fans, along with our amazing family of fans that we've had over the course of the entire 27 years of doing the Hair Radio Show, it's just been a wonderful ride. And we're still on the highway. So that's it. I'm looking forward to what's next, and we're just going to keep on keeping on.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music and writing, Mr. Matthew Knowles. I want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, good morning, Carrie. You know, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have done a whole lot of entrepreneurial types of ventures. And one is for 18 years, I co-owned and co-managed the number one hair salon in Houston for a number of years called Headliners Hair Salon.
Is that really? Well, we
I actually published a hair styling book, Gary, called Hair International back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, we have got to talk about that. we got to figure out how you and I should have said music and the literary world on top of everything else. But how in the world did you get from the hair industry into the music industry, or are they kind of like one and the same as a lot of folks believe?
Well, for me, you know, I was in corporate America, and Tina, my former wife. I asked her one day what was her passion, and she said her passion was doing hair and making people beautiful. And I said, why don't you go to school, and when you finish school, we'll open a hair salon. And that's what we did. And that hair salon, we used one of the principles that I had learned, because I was selling diagnostic imaging to the medical. And I kind of use, when you go to a doctor's office, they ask you, you know, fill out all these forms, you know, why are you here, tell us your history, and then the nurse comes and takes you to the room, and then she weighs you and takes your temperature and asks you why you're there and do your blood pressure. And then a doctor comes, and he looks at that on the door before he walks in. He looks at your patient history and why you're there. What your vitals are, and he's made a decision right there, what you need, he comes see you, and then when he finished, which is the quickest part of it, is when you see the doctor, he leaves, and then he writes a prescription. And I use that same concept in our hair salon, exactly, having many assistants. The stylist never left the chair, and I thought it was malpractice if a licensed cosmetologist did not continue and complete the service. And that service is home products for the customer. And so maintenance, home maintenance.
Like, yeah, after,
so that was our philosophy at Headliners.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And you really you helped to add a whole different layer to this today. And we're so excited about it. Thank you very, very much. Now, I have to say, along the line, so the music, how did you get into producing music? I understand that you had, you know, I call it that whole passion for excellence and working for others and so forth and having that entrepreneurial mindset. But is that what kind of led you into music? How did you get into the production of music and that whole aspect?
Well, the production of it, you know, that's as an executive producer, you oversee everything from the studio, the travel, all of the paperwork that's involved. And also occasionally I had the opportunity to co-write Survivor and a couple of other songs with Destiny's Child, and you get into just over time I've been in the field over 24 years now, and you pick up every aspect of it, and if you're passionate and you love it, then you want to learn every aspect of it, and that's what passion does. And you know, that's my new book, DNA of Achievers. You know, the 10 traits. The first one is passion. Are people doing, who's listening right now, are they doing what they're passionate about? Are they doing it for money? It's a big difference.
Well, you know what, let's talk about the DNA of Achievers and the 10 traits. We're not going to give all the traits because I'm going to do like Barbara Walters. We learn from the best. Don't give the top trait just yet. We're going to save that for the book. We want you to pick up this book. It's the DNA of Achievers. Now, the 10 traits of highly successful professionals. You mentioned passion. What are some of the, you know, how do folks recognize their passion? We do tell them that. We tell everyone, you know, pursue your passion. But how do you know what your passion is? You have any tips for that?
It's a very simple step. What is that one thing? And the key word here, Carrie, is one thing. Because the mistake most people make is they all over the place. They love this. They love hair. They love fashion. They love makeup. They love da-da-da. You know, that one thing that you become really, really good and maybe even become great if you focused. So what is that one thing that energizes you, excites you, that you go to bed at night thinking about, wake up in the morning, can't wait to do it? And sometimes it's something that nobody even knows because you're embarrassed or ashamed to say, this is really my passion. And I tell everybody, I don't care what that one thing is, if you strive towards getting that one thing right, it will change your life, because if you are passionate about something, then it coexists with work ethics. Because when you are passionate, you don't work. You have fun all day doing what you love. That's why I really focus in on passion. What is that one thing that you just excites you? You could just go running out the door right now because it gives you that much joy and fulfillment inside.
We love that. Now, I do have to ask you, what's that one passion thing for you, Matthew Knowles?
Educate and motivate in the areas of entrepreneurship and music business. I've done it all my life, educate and motivate.
Wow. Well, I have to just let everybody know, you know, you launched one of the most successful, I think it is the top successful female group of all time, you know, Destiny's Child, and award-winning, and you've just done so much. And we're just trying to find out what is it that has created this inside of you. I think that this book, The DNA of Achievers, will tell us a little bit about that. I really do. I know that passion is one of the first traits that you mentioned. But what are some of the other traits that we should really look out for in The DNA of Achievers?
Well, I talk briefly about work ethics because they coexist. You can't have one without the other. You can't have work ethics unless you're passionate about something. And because if you're not passionate, you don't want to. You know, you hate doing it. You know, how many people wake up and hate going to work every day?
Well, that's kind of like majority of the folks. I think it's very few. God
bless them.
God
bless them because I've been very fortunate. Seldom. I have, my early days, Goodyear, when I used to work at Goodyear in the summer when I was a young teenager. I was determined to do the job, but I didn't like it. Didn't love it. I was determined, but, it's a certain joy you get of waking up and going to do what you love. Yesterday, I started at 7 o'clock, Carrie, and I in the morning. I finished at 11 o'clock last night. And I work normally 7 days a week. I go to the office on the weekends or do a ton of emails. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yes.
I love what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I love it.
Thank you, Matthew. That is really, I have to tell you something. We are very honored to have you on the show. And something like this is so critical and important. But I have to go back a little bit. I actually love what you wrote because I kind of live by this myself. Back when you were working in, I call it like for corporate kind of, you were doing like the sales and, that to me sounds like project management. And when you have so much that you're in charge of and all of that, and you were so successful, even in sales. It just reminds me of myself. I think when you are doing something, like you said, that you are passionate about, even if you're working for others and you're really happy about what you're doing, it's automatically like a success, so to speak. And I just think that you don't necessarily always have to be an entrepreneur. If that's not what you're in your spirit to do or whatever the case may be, but if you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do and you're passionate about and you love it, you can make it into a success and you can feel that success. And I think this was, so I read that line and I thought it was outstanding, when you were working for the other company and, you felt like an entrepreneur is what I'm driving at.
No. Carrie, I teach, one of the courses I teach at Texas Southern University is entrepreneurship in the School of Business.
Mm.
And the first thing that I teach, Gary, is the biggest mistake and error that I think we make is we think we get confused entrepreneurship and owning a business. They are two different things. Entrepreneurship is a belief. It's a belief. It's a certain makeup. It's like a DNA. It's people that take risk. It's people that are highly energized. It's people that come up with ideas. That's entrepreneurship. There's a lot of people that own businesses that are business owners. They're not entrepreneurs. That's a lot of people that work for other people and are employees, but they are entrepreneurs in how they think, in a day operate. So please don't get that confused.
Okay, that is a very good point and something that I absolutely need to bear in mind as well. Now, I have to say, and we're gonna definitely get on with some of these wonderful traits. We're going to talk a little bit more about the DNA of achievers. But, folks, if you've just joined me, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, and today we have a very special guest coming to us. It's Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, he has written a new book called The DNA of Achievers, and it's 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. So this is something that we're going to definitely talk a little bit more about. But also, Matthew, I want to get into some of your current projects, some of the things that you're working on these days and some of the plans that you have.
Well, Carrie, my passion has always been, even as a sales rep, when we truly think about what a salesperson do, they educate somebody on the product that they're selling, and they motivate them to buy it. And so what I've been doing most of my life is my passion, educating and motivating, and I'm doing that right now. I'm doing a number of seminars around the country. November the 14th, I'm in Macon, Georgia. November the 15th, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. A seminar that's called The Entertainment Industry, How Do I Get In? And these seminars are all-day seminar, and they're for recording artists, singers, managers, producers, songwriters, videographers, choreographers, hairstylists. How about that? Why would a hairstylist want to go to one of these conventions, those seminars? Because it's 300 people in a room, and they all, most of them want to get in the entertainment industry, and some of them hopefully will be successful. And guess what?
Love it.
They're going to need
love
a hairstylist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, tell us more. So this seminar, the ones that are coming up around the 14th and 15th of November, how do we get involved with that?
You can go to eventbrite.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Com, Gary.
Okay.
Eventbrite.com. Again,
uh-huh.
That's the entertainment industry. How do I get in? You know what, Gary? I have to tell you, man, you reminded me, out of all the seminars, I mean, all of the interviews I've done on the DNA of Achievers,
yes.
I've never, and out of all the things I've talked about, the clothing line, Darion, House of Darion, you know, headliners and Hair International, I seldom talk about, and I did that 18 years. Did you know, and for folks listening, they probably remember in the 90s, that oversized hairstyling book. We had three volumes of it. One day,
really?
Kerry, I had to make the decision if I was going to be in the hair publishing book business or be in the music business. And I had to make that decision. It was I remember the day I had to decide. And
wow.
I had an office, and on the door it said Hair International Publication, and on the door it said Music World Entertainment. And
wow.
I had to make that decision. I used to go all over the country to all of those hair shows. And
oh,
I had,
so Bronner Brothers and all those big hair shows and all of that.
Bronner Brothers, all of them. I had manuals. I was educating back then. I had a manual called How to Open Your Own Hair Salon. I had an educational manual.
I feel like I'm talking to someone that is amazing.
I had a manual called How to Build a Client Base, and then I had an appointment book that I created. And so some folks that are listening remember that Hair International publication.
So you should feel at home here at Hair Radio. That's exactly the kinds of wonderful things that we do and bring to the, you know, to the beauty world. So I love it. I love it, and I can't wait. I want any of those copies that you have lying around, you let us know. We're happy to see them. And if you ever decide to, you know, to add on to this wonderful book that you have out now, again, The DNA of Achievers, and you decide to do something in the hair and beauty way, you make sure and look us up at Hair Radio. We would love to speak to you about that.
I guarantee you, Kerry, I guarantee your listeners, they pick up that book, and they can go right now to Amazon or Apple and get the ebook. The hardback will be in stores in the next 30 days, but I guarantee you, I give you money back if after you read that book, The DNA of Achievers, and after every chapter, there's a work exercise. I actually, you know, that college professor comes out. I promise you, buy that book and you'll become better at what you're doing in the hair industry. Again, I did the industry for 18 years. And our first $1 million, Gary, was made in 1984 in Houston, Texas, with Headliners Hair Salon.
And that was before we got to know you in the record producing world.
1984, Gary. 1984.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's headline.
Who knew we were going to be talking about this, man?
You know what? This is just amazing. And I'm just blown away. I really am. But I have to ask you, there was one of the traits that I saw, and I said, well, hold it. I have got to ask Matthew about this. I want to talk about learning from your failure, too, because I believe in that, but I want to ask you what's your take on it. But what does talk talk-to-do ratio mean? I couldn't figure that out. What is talk-to-do ratio? And then I want to get into more of this. But what's talk-to-do ratio?
Well, Terry, you're in the industry that there's quite a bit of that, just like in the music industry, that people just talk about what they're going to do, the follow-up. They have an idea, they're going to follow up, or they're going to meet with you, or they're going to call you, and they're going to, and then you never hear from them.
Right.
You never
hear
a word from them.
Right.
And those two professions really do a lot of talk to do. And so it's measuring, Gary, the percentage of what we say we're going to do versus what we end up doing.
That's
what
the
it
execution.
Is, measuring what we say we're going to do versus the percentage of the time we actually do what we say we're going to do.
Wow.
And you find that successful people, if they say they're going to do something, you know, we had an interview at a certain time. You were there waiting. I was there 3 minutes before the time, not after the time we said. We both were there like we said we were going to do.
That's right.
And that's talk-to-do ratio, high percentage of doing what we say we're going to do. It's as simple
wow.
as that.
I love it. And, of course, one of the biggest lessons, and I want to certainly say some for the folks who pick up this book called The DNA of Achievers, but it's the learning from failure. We cannot not talk about that. How, Matthew, what do you say to folks who need to learn from their failure, or how do you learn from your failure? That's first.
Well, we all, Carrie, we're going to have failures. We're going to make mistakes. When we take risk, sometimes we make mistakes. Just in life's own terms, we make mistakes and we have failures. But I basically like to keep life real simple. In this book, I try to keep it real simple, and I try to keep it real. I keep it real. And you know, often we don't realize that mistakes are a reason and an opportunity for us to even become better, better at what we do, better as people. So it's an opportunity, but not a reason to quit. I like to say that mistakes and failures are an opportunity to grow, not a reason to quit. And if we haven't walked through some things, we can't grow. I could never tell you how to be the best, I don't know, pilot, airplane pilot. If maybe you had never tried to fly a plane, and maybe during your training, maybe you learned some things the hard way that maybe you don't ever want to do it that way. Maybe you don't want to fly into a storm. Maybe that ride got so bumpy and got so scary that you thought it was going to crash. And so you learn, hey, if there's a storm, I'm not going to fly in it. I had that one experience. It taught me I don't want to do that. And so we have to walk through this stuff sometimes. And we have to grow from it. But what I find is a lot of people, they're almost there, Carrie, of being successful.
Yes.
They make a mistake, or have a failure, and then they quit.
But
right
there,
before it's going to happen.
Right before. But you've always heard that too, I'm sure, where they say, oh, he was just about to make it. And then, you know, you have a big, like, it always seems like some catastrophe happens or something really, like, I don't know, some folks say it's a test, that if you make it through that, then you'll be successful. It's a challenge sometimes. I have to actually say, being an entrepreneur myself, it can feel like a challenge sometimes. So, you know, this is really nice. I appreciate you creating a book like this.
Look, Carrie, it is a challenge. But I have such a different approach. When it gets tough, that's when I gear up. That's when I'm ready.
That's when you get real.
Like, I put my foot on the gas when there's trouble. I don't like let up and say, oh, and start feeling sorry for myself.
Right, and start.
You know, poor pity me. That's not what successful people do, man.
That's right.
I said, okay, only person who's going to help me get through this is me and some good people around me that I can trust and believe in. and I'm going to get through it. First, you got to believe it.
Wow. This is amazing. You have to believe. I guess it goes back to, like you said, the passion and the work ethics. But there is one other element that we probably have to at least address, and that's the vision. You got to be someone who can actually see it, I think.
And that vision is just, again, I like to keep it simple. It's having an idea and thinking the idea all the way through to execution of the idea that it becomes a real product. And so most people have vision, and the mistake that we often make is we go running out, we have this idea, and we go running out before we thought it all the way through, and we ask a friend or someone who we think is a friend, and we say, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, man, that ain't going to ever work. Well, maybe you should think it all the way through. And so when you go to your friend, you don't ask them what they think. You say to your friend, you know what, friend, I need you to, this is my idea. I need you to invest $100 in this idea. Not I'm going to ask you what you think about it, because I'm going to explain it all the way through. And I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking for your help versus your opinion. That's what a true visionary does.
Wow. I love it. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our very, very special guest today, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, you guys know him. He's an award-winning executive producer in the music world, and he's also an author of this new book called The DNA of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. Now, we did not indicate number one yet. We're not going to give number one. I don't want to give that over the air, Matthew. We want folks to go and certainly order this book. As you say, you can get it from Amazon. We just want to promote it and put it out there. It's something that obviously, especially our fan base, our wonderful listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, are very much entrepreneurs and would be able to gain something from this. So this is very, very exciting. Hey, I just want to turn back to music for one quick moment. I have one of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, when they found out you were coming to the show, they wrote in and they sent a question. And they said, and I thought it was very interesting because I don't think I would have thought of this, but have you ever, Matthew, thought of putting together a boy band or a male group or a male version of it? What do you say to something like that?
Well, you know, I'm working with a girl group. It just seems as though my magic is with girl groups. I was fortunate to work with Trinity 5-7 and Gospel, and they, similar to Destiny's Child and pop and R&B and Gospel, Trinity 5-7 is the number one selling female trio of all time in Gospel. And so I have a female trio that I'm working with in hip-hop, two rappers and a female vocalist. Their name is Blush Music. I have to put emphasis on blush because it's spelled BLUSHHH.
All right.
And you will hear about these young ladies very, very soon in the next 3 to 5 months. And so that's what I'm working with. I had worked once with a boy band, but that's a different set of dynamics.
It's a whole different set.
I love the imaging part also that happens on the female side, and the approach for marketing is a lot different. And so I enjoy that. It's the most difficult of all is working with a female group because you have a lot of psychological dynamics that falls into play, as well as the imaging, as well as the music matching. And so that's a challenge, and I love challenges. And so I enjoy that.
Well, it sounds like you can tie the success of something like that, and especially your projects, back to something like these wonderful traits.
But, Terry, I want to thank you. You know, I want to thank you. I really hadn't talked about the hair industry. And
I'm blushing here.
Angelo and, you know, those guys set up this interview because I seldom do I talk about. There were some great years, some fun years owning that hair salon. And then one day we called a meeting. Tina called a meeting, and no one knew what she was going to do. 18 years into the business, and one stylist who was an assistant for like 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, and he was not, you know, he wasn't gifted with the skill of being a hairstylist. He had to develop and work on it, and he came to work early, and he stayed late, and she called this meeting. And he had been with the company 10 years, and she gave him Headliner's Hair Salon in Houston. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house, in the room, when she gave this stylist the business because he was dedicated. He was passionate, and he came early. And, he stayed late, and those are the formulas of greatness, people who come early and stay late. And she rewarded him for that. But I have to run. I see they're knocking on the door, and
well,
I got to get going now.
I just want to say thank you. I was so wrapped with that story. That's a great story. Listen, Matthew, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I do appreciate it. We have to pick up this book, The DNA of Achievers, and we'll stay in touch, and we want you to come back one day and bring us
some
of
I would love to do that.
Talent.
Thank you so much, and have a great day. Bye.
You too. Folks, keep it right here for more of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Bond of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand-new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Kerry Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story. And we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, today we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Peggy Dotson. Now, she is the woman behind UBC TV Network. The Hair Radio Show would like to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Welcome, Peggy.
Hey, Kerry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, listen, first of all, it's great to have you here. Now, we need to tell everyone what the UBC TV Network is.
Okay. First of all, Kerry, I'm so excited about being here. I just, I am your fan. I think you're awesome.
Back at
it's just really great. Well, UBC TV is actually, it started out as a concept for a TV network, but it has evolved into a broadcast multimedia company with different divisions and things like that. So it's sort of like a hybrid between a cable network, broadcast network, and a technology company, online company like a Netflix. So it's sort of like my own creation because of where we are in the industry. You know, cable is there, but it's not there like it was before. People are unplugging, and so people want the opportunity to view things on different platforms. By the way, which I have, you know, was ahead of my time because I was pushing this years ago, and
many years. We're not going to say how many.
It's true. I know we don't want to say how many, but you know, and then people want, you know, to see original content. Content is still king and queen. So so that's what basically we're all about, is original content that is distributed over multiple platforms, including, you know, online, live streaming on demand, cable, live events, and different other little, you know, arms of it, which I think we'll get into as just we move forward. But but that's what it's evolved into, not just a network,
terrific,
but more than that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are going to get into every facet of this, Peggy. We really are.
Okay.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's start at the beginning. Now, share with our fans, I think, tell everybody where you are from and where you take care of business these days.
Okay. Well, the planet Venus. I am actually, sometimes I feel like an alien. I'm actually originally from Arkansas. The great
Arkansas.
State of Arkansas. Yeah, Bill Clinton and DeAngelo. I'm from Stuttgart, actually. Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is really in between Little Rock and Pine Bluffs. I grew up down south. And the first half of my life and the second half of my life, that's a third and a fourth part of my life that I haven't lived yet, so it's not over yet. But the next phase of my life I grew up in is in New York City. So, you know, I am, from Stuttgart, Arkansas. My mother and father were entrepreneurs. God bless them. They're my mentors. They're my inspiration. They both are with God, and they passed away. They are with me every day. My father was a master plumber, and he was and that was revolutionary at that time because you don't have very many African Americans who are master plumbers in Stuttgart, in a town, Stuttgart, Arkansas, which was, you know, racially divided. And my father and mother had businesses that catered to white people. I mean, we, you know, at that time, like you said, in the South, when I was growing up, you know, the civil rights era had started, and the Black Panthers and all that kind of stuff, but we still had a lot of racial division down there. And, you know, so and it was very, you know, that's, you know, it affected me and helped mold me, and I started working with my daddy. I did a little bookkeeping stuff at age 10 in his plumbing company. And it just taught me discipline. And then at age 14, I was working with my mother. My mother had a restaurant, so we had a restaurant business kind of in our family, and I learned the restaurant business. I was on the grill cooking, I was waiting tables, and I answered the phone, you know, to take orders, and I answered the phone for my daddy, Dawson's Plumbing Company, and when the clients called and all that kind of stuff. So at age 10 up to 14, I was, learning how to be an entrepreneur. And it's so important, I feel, that we have to teach our children at a young age about money and entrepreneurship, because it really has helped me it has helped mold and shape me and helped me to be independent, a self-starter, and helped me get through a lot of adversity that I would not regularly have probably gotten through the way that I have, and I landed on my feet, because it does teach you discipline.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite amazed when I hear a story like yours in which both of your parents were entrepreneurs and you helping out because mm-hmm. it does. What that does, in my belief, is that it channels that wonderful, it just teaches you without having to have been taught, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's almost like osmosis, you know. It just goes mm-hmm. right on in there, and it's there. It's there. And
yeah.
you don't even realize it's there. And then, you know, as you start getting older, you're somehow it kind of harkens back to that great foundation and introduction and fortitude that you just happen to have picked up along the way.
That
it's just, I'm blown away by that something that you were able to get from your father and your mother. And look at the way that I look at it, look at the legacy that you've been able to, you know, to continue.
Yeah, also my spiritual connection to God, and you know, my mother and father mm-hmm. were very into the church, and it has extended through me. I'm a very spiritual person. It has pushed me to expand and learn a lot about different religions and cultures and things. But mom and daddy, my mother was like the mother of a church, and she was a gospel promoter. I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy, Reverend James Cleveland, at a young age because my mother. She put on gospel. She was a gospel promoter. And my mother was mm-hmm. amazing. I'm telling you, my father was amazing. And they are both I learned a lot about that, and it helped me in my music, you know, because I have another part of me that's part of the music industry and singing and all that. And
you do have a beautiful voice for you guys out there. So maybe you'll give them a little treat, in a little later on in the interview today.
Okay. We'll see about that.
I'm putting her on the spot, everybody.
I know.
Yeah. But I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so these are things that are just, you know, like I said, they're quite remarkable. And all these wonderful things help to shape the experiences that you have, mm-hmm. and that you have under your belt, and kind of pushed you towards this wonderful, extraordinary entrepreneur in your own right. And, mm-hmm. and so we're going to get into that a little bit. So, okay, so you grew up in Arkansas, and then your family kind of moved up north to New York somehow, and you kind of, how did that come into play? And then where did this wonderful inspiration for this wonderful network come from?
Well, you know, my family, I'm daring. I'm a risk taker. My mother did not want me to actually go to New York, but my father was an adventurer, and you know, they were still in Arkansas. I eventually moved to Texas, but
there's a big difference between New York. We're going to be fair about it. There's a big difference between New York and Arkansas, especially probably in those days.
Yeah. Well, at the time, you know, In stuff at Arkansas, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was like first runner up Miss Teenage Black America for our region. Yeah, I my mother put me in pageants, and I ended up singing a lot and you know, competitions and things like that. I said, at that time in high school,
mm-hmm.
there was still segregation, and there was a group called the Ricelanders that I could not audition for because I was black, but. So I couldn't get in there, but as far as vocally, I could out-sing all of them. I'm not bragging or anything, but like that. But my choir instructor, Jim Sparks, bless his heart, he took me aside and he taught me how to sing. I started out with Billie Holiday songs and things of that nature. And so I just ended up, long story short, doing a lot of stuff, and then ended up getting two or three vocal scholarships to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got a music scholarship, a vocal scholarship, so I went there. I also got offered to go to West Point Academy at the same time. That same year, West Point became like men and women together. It was just men, and they were letting women in because I was also very civically. I did a lot of stuff. I was student body vice president and girls' state, so I got nominated for a lot of stuff. So I ended up taking the music thing because my family is very music oriented and all that, and went there, landed the head of musical shows and things like that. I was auditioned for a great a cappella group and got into that. So we ended up going, taking a trip to New York the theater group I was involved in. I was actually playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and then I was in The Wiz. So I played Dorothy. I was in Dorothy and The Wiz, so we at the same time we went to New York, I was Dorothy and The Wiz, and Diana Ross was filming Dorothy.
In the movie, right?
Yeah, she was filming it, and that's the same year I met her, and we have a family affiliation, the Ross family.
Wow.
And from Detroit, my family on my mother's side is from Detroit, the Rosses, and so they worked at Motown and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so I wanted to meet Donna Ross. She was my inspiration. And I ended up coming to New York and on this theater trip and fell in love with New York and did not know how I was going to meet Donna Ross, but I was here and I found my way to Queens, to the studio there with a friend of mine.
Is that the studio in Astoria, Queens?
I found my way to Astoria, Queens, to that studio, and I don't know how I did it, but I told everybody that I wanted to meet Donna Ross, and I took the train there. Never been to Queens before in my life. Got on the train from Arkansas with one of my friends. And we went there to the studio, and she couldn't go in. I was the only one that could come in to meet Ms. Ross. And so I got a chance to meet Donna Ross. I met Sidney Lumet, who's the most famous director.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I met the Michael had just left because he was the Scarecrow. He had left the set. So I didn't meet Michael Jackson, but I met the Tin Man. I think it was. Anyway, I met the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael was the Scarecrow. I met the Tin Man. It was, you know, it was really awesome, and it was very inspirational. And she was
so. This
gracious.
Is when they were actually filming The Wiz.
Filming the movie. Yeah. So
now,
because they called
her
Diane, and I'm Diane, and our both our middle names, and
wow.
It's just that, for me, that was like a highlight of my life. I said, if I can go to New York City and meet Donna Ross, I need to go to
New
York.
That's it. Exactly. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now, this is a full circle moment. It's just so amazing to me because one of our guests, who's actually on this week as well, is Hinton Battle, who played, I think he's won like three Tonys, maybe more.
Yeah.
Awards for, and he played on Broadway in The Wiz.
He did.
With the role he originated, the Michael Jackson role was the role that he originated. So shout out to Hinton Battle.
Yeah, hey Hinton, I know Hinton. Hey Hinton, this Peggy called me. Call me.
He is
fantastic.
So yeah.
He really is.
I'm just blown away that that was during that movie. Now, what also was coming to be, it was just released that NBC Television is going to be doing a stage version of, you know, a live program that they're going to be actually, you know, bringing back The Wiz, if you will, for the TV show, a live broadcast. They've been doing these big stage productions recently.
Yeah.
The Wiz is going to get that treatment, and I am excited for anyone to take on that. Now, so your big inspiration, one of your big inspirations, so we know is, she's inspired many, many folks, and I've certainly chatted with her daughter, Rhonda, but Barry and Diana Ross's daughter, Rhonda, in the past. But can you tell me, who were some of the others who inspired this great Peggy Dodson? And then we'll get into you.
Oh, my God. I have many many people in different genres. You know, Dr. King, was an inspiration to me. And Reverend Jackson, who I was just with at Wall Street Summit, just, you know,
and
current people.
And hold it, we don't want to gloss over these wonderful folks and the kind of connections that that you felt with these folks. Now,
yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. Let's start with Dr. King. You know, we are actually kicking off this wonderful celebration to Dr. King this week on the Hair Radio Show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we want you to just kind of weigh in. What has Dr. King meant to you, Peggy Dodson?
Dr. King, what he has meant to me, what he means to me, is the chance to be all that you can be in a place that is equal and just. And I feel that is that was his life, you know, starting with African Americans. And he and the spirit to move forward in all adversities with what you believe in and your faith in God, you know, despite anything, despite anyone, he had his conversation with God and God spoke to him. And he went ahead despite what anyone said, because what he did had to be done, no matter if he knew that eventually his life, he had to forfeit his life here on this earth. But to have that faith and to accomplish, it's almost like what Jesus did, despite what anybody said, he knew that he had to do and fulfill what God meant for him to do. And I feel that we all sometimes get off track, and it's human, and we all get off track on things. But, you know, the one thing that has kept me going in all of this is my faith. And me not giving up through all adversity, because this is not for the weak of heart. This industry, whatever we're in, as you know, it is that we have the deck stacked against us as a people. We don't own our images as much as we should. Stories are being told about us that we don't control. And to be able to step up, not maybe against, I won't say against, but to step out with the powers that be out there and say, hey, this is your story, but it's not my story. And to not to be fearful in saying that, it takes a lot. It takes faith, because it's
absolutely
very scary. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to let the folks out there know, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. And my very special guest today is Miss Peggy Dodson. Now, she is behind the UBC TV network, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I just wanted to ask you, Reverend Jesse Jackson, now there is a great picture of you and the Reverend Jesse Jackson circulating out there around the Internet, and we have that great picture for you, along with a lot of information on you, Ms. Peggy Dodson. So if you guys out there are trying to reach Peggy, you go to hairradio.com, and you'll see all of Peggy's information right there on the screen, along with some great pictures. And I'm told, Peggy, that you have some special words of advice that you are sharing exclusively with the fans of the Hair Radio Show.
Yes. Definitely.
So, yeah, so we want to get you guys following our great interview today. Absolutely, this will continue. So you want to go to hairradio.com and read all of that wonderful information on Ms. Peggy Dodson. Now, I'm ready to get into all about the wonderful UBC TV network. So you mentioned that this is a television network, as we just indicated, but what does the UBC stand for?
Stands for Urban Broadcasting Company, which is so weird. It also stands for Udang Broadcasting. I have a lot of, and you know, I'm so connected to Uganda. It's weird. It's weird. I love my friends from Uganda, and I have a lot of people from Uganda that actually follow me online, and they love, you know, what I'm doing. I'm very connected to Africa, but especially Uganda. But
what,
you know, that's the name of the company, is Urban Broadcasting. I wanted something named. I didn't want to pigeonhole, and people may say urban does, but it's, for me, it's urban multicultural. It's about culture, and I think that urban has been defined by others or misconstrued as something that it is not. Simply, urban is city, and rural is country. So it's urban means city, life.
Oh, okay,
lifestyle.
So urban is not just some euphemism for black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and
urban
is, and that's how people categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it means different things. It can mean different things, but for me, it's about lifestyle. And
mm-hmm.
when you look at it, our lifestyle is the lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle is how you live, where you live, and that's
mm-hmm.
what UBC is all about, and it embraces culture. So that it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's all us together. I guess you could say that.
I like that. So the U can stand for us. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah,
now, Peggy,
definitely.
Tell us about some of the wonderful projects that you're kicking off at UBC.
Well, I have this has been a labor of love for me. You have to measure and time things correctly. As you know, in this industry, to do a network, it's very expensive, and it's not easy, because once you get out there, you say, oh, okay, I've got 24 hours to fill. Oh, okay. I need advertisers. A lot of my colleagues who are out there now, who are just jumped on the air recently, it's that they've gotten a lot of gray hair, just by having the stress of doing that.
Yes.
Yes.
I can speak to that.
Yes.
One.
You know, so my goal is to roll out, to start the digital part, which I have started officially last year. We have a live stream channel where we are getting ready. We have live stream, we have on demand, and we're actually getting ready to do something very special. We're getting ready to put out a whole lineup as far as original productions that we are going to be streaming. As you
know,
streaming is really big right now in NBC, Netflix, everyone's jumping into that world, which for me it's there's still a major cost, because you can't just go out and just do it anyway. You still have to have that broadcast quality to that in order to bring on the advertisers or the sponsors that you want to bring on.
Exactly.
So you have to. What we're doing is the original productions that we will be either live streaming or streaming will be edited, and then from there we back into cable. So we will have – some things will just be totally online, and then some things will be shot for cable TV, which we are rolling out this year, this spring, actually. I mean, the date is closed, so I've got to say the date. But we will actually be in about 40 million households, and we'll have channels. We'll have channel positions soon, so I know people want to know that. And I'll be making that announcement. We will be able to be on Time Warner, Comcast, and Dish Network, and DirecTV.
And you'll let us know. You'll come back and tell all the folks at the Hair Radio Show.
Yes,
okay,
most
so
definitely.
We can get an exclusive, guys. You've heard it right here. We're going to hold Peggy to that now.
Okay, that's
okay.
I would definitely do that. It would be real. It's going to be soon. Sooner than later, it's going to be soon. But what we're planning on doing, and I'm very, very excited about the lineup that we have. The lineup for the live streaming, of course, is different than the cable. Some of them will overlap. For instance, we have a show called the UBC Mix, which is, I guess you could say, it's almost an evolution of Soul Train. I love, and it's a show I created. A lot of the shows I created, by the way, and over years and years of research, years and years of research and marketing and all of that, and TV production and what I've done with NCAA sports. And that's my background, is from live TV. So I love live television. I love dance. I dance a lot. I love house music. I love all types of music. But
Well, you know what, Peggy? I have to say, I'm not to interrupt you at all. I just want you to Absolutely. Let the folks know. And I want to tell everybody out there, they're listening to you and you're giving them this wonderful information. I just want to remind the folks, you're listening to Miss Peggy Dotson, who is our special guest today on the Hair Radio Show. And she's been telling us all about UBC TV Network. Now, I just want to tell all of our Hair Radio Show fans, if you want to find out more about Peggy Dotson, you want to go to her pages and find out how to reach her and find out more about UBC TV Network. We're posting everything at the hairradio.com website. So that's www.hairradio.com. And there you'll see we're going to hopefully, Peggy will put up some more pictures and all of this wonderful, these wonderful things that Peggy's providing just exclusively for our Hair Radio Show fans today. So we are so excited, and we're going to give them all the information. Now, Peggy, great. I have to ask you. Yes, now, we got a little bit into it, but I really want to drive this point home, and I know that you can do it eloquently. Broadcast television seems to be going through a metamorphosis. It seems to be changing in a way. It doesn't look like it used to look. There's a whole lot of, flack about it not being more representative of the folks when we go outside our door. So, So individuals are saying that, well, gee, you know what? We don't control broadcasting, and when I say we, I shouldn't speak for folks, but I think what the message is that they feel that the people of color and the people who are representative of the world, the broadcasting doesn't really speak to those folks by and large. However, the Internet, the new technology, seems to be controlled, so to speak, at this time by the masses. So is there some, big, disconnect between broadcast and Internet or technology and streaming and all of that? Is broadcasting changing?
Yeah, it's changing because it has to somewhat. The big disconnect, I mean, that's one of the reasons why YouTube is so big, because you have more control over what you want to see versus what someone else thinks you want to see. And the big problem with broadcast is that it's big.
You don't have any control.
It's
turning your channel.
Well, it's big, so you have large organizations that have different departments that don't even talk to each other. So they don't, and you have people who have major pressure on them to create programs because you have accounting people saying, this is not making any money. It's not really set up. You have big public companies who are dividend-driven, and they're not content-driven. They're, sports. People understand sports. That's an easy one. The multi-billion-dollar business, sometimes like Fox, that's what anchors, is one of their big anchors. And then you have American Idol. And then you have a formula. The problem with broadcast and cable, too, is the formula that's used in calculating what they think people want to see and what individuals go in front of the camera. You have a formula for a story that is beginning, middle, end, and that is very predictable, but that's what people want because they feel that's what makes money. And then you have a formula for people that you have, maybe if you may have three white people, you may have one black person, it's gotten worse. I don't know. I don't like formulas. I don't even deal with a formula. We're out of the box. My goal is to be able to represent life the way that it is and not contrive it. Even with the reality shows, they're not reality. They're contrived. They're combative. And a lot of the producers do that because they feel they have to create anger and animosity in order for that, in order for people to watch, and then advertisers sign on. And a part of that is true, but it's not all true. And we're not represented at all. And the the time when we are represented, it's so contrived and controlled and stereotypical. And I mean, there are some shows that I'm not going to say right now. It's just people
right.
I mean, it's just like, okay, this is a black show. Even with major producers that we know that do film, mm-hmm. that when they get to television, they get into the formula. And
right.
they put this and that. Let's put this. Let's put some salt and pepper and some pasta and the this
uh-huh.
and this. And that's the recipe. And that's and mm-hmm. and if you don't do that recipe, you don't get on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. There
wow.
is a big disconnect, and it has to do with culture. It has to do
mm-hmm.
a disconnect with color. It has to do with people who are in positions who feel they think they know who we are and they don't, who don't know the story. But in essence, they know, all they know is that we have the buying power, $1.1 trillion, and they want our eyeballs. They need the eyeballs
mm-hmm.
in order to bring on Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and KFC and McDonald's. I mean, those companies know about our buying power. But
Yeah, I love that. The word power. That's where all of this and what it all means. And
yeah.
I think that, yeah, and I think you really, you have completely and eloquently stated what I believe is the disconnect. So going forward, we have the folks like yourself, UBC TV Network, Urban Lifestyle Programming, and you're based out of, you're based where? I just want to make sure we hit all of that.
Yeah, I'm in New York. I'm in New York City.
New York City.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And you know, in Harlem, which is the urban capital
okay.
of the world. You know, it's New York City, and we have a new base that we're building in Las Vegas, and I'll talk about that at some point. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're going
terrific.
To be doing some really exciting things there with another division of the company. Yeah, we're based here, but we're a global company. We're looking right now. We have some productions that we're working on, a major reality show with a major celebrity that we're I can't announce it yet. Yes,
okay,
a major
but you
celebrity
promised to come back
that we,
here and
yes,
tell the fans
we have a
of
major,
the Hit Radio Show.
Yeah,
okay.
a major celebrity that we're doing a deal with that we are going to. We're doing a reality show with them. We're going to be following them around, not just here, but we're going overseas. And so that is, you know, that's kind of like what, and some of the programs, the teasers and stuff will be available online. And
wow.
The rest of it will be on cable. And that's what I like. I like going between, I like the model that I've created because it gives me the flexibility to do things
right.
online.
Right, you're not just doing one thing only.
Right, I'm not just stuck to cable, and I'm not just stuck, you know, on one just online. It gives me the flexibility to go back and forth with a show, actually. You can take
mm-hmm.
part of the show, you can put it online and take another part of it, you can put it on cable. That way you go back and forth and you hit different audiences by that way. And we are a producing network, which is very important. I wanted to say that, even though we are doing partnerships with other producers and production companies.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a showrunner, and I've created my own originals. And I have a great production manager, Academy Award-nominated production manager. He's done everything.
Wow.
Worked with Billy Joel. He knows music and knows sports, and he's just awesome. So it gives
wow.
us the ability to be a producing network so that we can actually produce our own originals. We can create the originals. We can produce them and distribute them. And we bring in our own advertising and sponsors and things like that. And I have an agency that I'm also dealing with. But it gives flexibility for creativity,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I wanted because I'm a creative person. I don't want to be in a box
yes.
where, oh, I'm just a cable network, so I just got to do this. And I love my cable
right.
people, or I'm just online, so I just can't do this. No, I love my technology people, so I want both. I want
wow.
both. So it gives us the opportunity to not only create wonderful kind of like reality shows, music events, things of that nature that we have. We have some exciting things planned. I tell you, we are
ready
to step out.
You guys are
into
just
the spotlight.
Moving along. Now,
yes.
I do want to ask you, Peggy, being a successful person out there in business, what words could you say to someone who's trying to follow in the great footsteps that you have trailblazed in terms of broadcasting and setting up your own network and working just all over the country with folks. What words can you say that just might be that great little inspiration that someone needs about now?
There's a couple things. My inspirational words is never give up. My Jewish godfather, who has passed away, Burl Walk, always told me, he says, Peggy, never, ever, ever give up. That is my anthem. The other thing is learn as much as possible about the industry that you're in. Study it, go to trade shows, find mentors in the industry, which is what I've done. I studied this industry. I met people in the industry, just like I did when I was in the music industry. You know, I went to Luther Vandross and I said, Luther, tell me about the industry. This is actually what I did when I moved to New York, and I wanted to find out about the recording industry, which is a totally different industry just being a singer.
Right.
I mean, people think, I'm a singer, I'm not digressing, I'm a singer, I want to be a great singer. No, if you want to be a professional singer, that means you are in the business of entertainment, so you need to know about that business. And I just went to every person I could talk to and had them tell me about the industry, and that's how you learn. And then you get mentors in that industry that are, great people who have high positions. One of my mentors, he's retired now from Fox, is Roland McFarlane, who is the only African-American executive at a high level at Fox in Los Angeles, at Fox TV and Fox Studios. And he adopted me, I adopted him. And I would always ask him questions and ask him, do you think this idea could work? He said, Peggy, go for it. It's going to work because it's needed. So I always have mentors, even to this day, that I go to and to listen to and talk about things. And I see mentors and just research and just never giving up on your dream, but also just being flexible, because what you see now may be a little different than what it really ends up being. I've had to be flexible in my vision with UBC. Like I said, I wanted a network, and now it's UBC. TV network, but it's really just one component of it. We have media, and we have a couple other. We have film. We can talk about the film division. I have a couple other divisions, and we have sports. We have some other things that have branched off, and we're also going to be building studio facilities. So,
wow,
you know, it's
a lot.
It's turned into a lot. Yes, I do, and we need to talk about the shopping. You know, don't let me forget about that.
That's something
I really want to discuss.
Yes, well, we definitely will. And folks, if you've just joined us, this is a very, very special interview today, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a person who is just doing extraordinary things in the way of business and community. The Hair Radio Show is very, very proud to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Peggy, again, welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, listen, we've been talking a lot about some of the wonderful business enterprises that you're involved with. And when we talk of UBC TV Network and some of the wonderful programming that we can soon expect, we have to get into the shopping aspect that is about to kick off here on this UBC TV network. So tell our fans out there, tell the show fans about this wonderful idea.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that sometimes I think I'm just totally crazy, but that's all right, because my Jewish godfather said, you got to be a little crazy to do this. But the one thing that I see things that are needed, and I try to move to create a solution for that, and that's one of the reasons why UBC has been gestating over the past couple of years, really gestating and getting ready to and slowly rolling out. And people say, "When are you rolling out?" Okay, just wait. I got something I'm working on here. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've always wanted to do, was to create a shopping component to my network, because I wanted to create something whereas I'm not like the other networks where I have to really depend on all the advertisers and sponsors. I want to be able to groom my shows, but I wanted to create an additional revenue streams. And that will keep the company going. And that, and so I've actually created Urban Home Shopping Network. It is a part of, it's going to start out as a show, and then we're going to actually evolve to a separate thing. But it is for, it is an urban QVC. It's for small businesses, women-owned businesses, and people of color who want to gain entry into the home shopping network arena. And cannot. I mean, as you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC they're starting to cater to smaller businesses because small business is the backbone of this country.
Exactly.
It is the backbone of this country, and people need to really understand
right.
that. And I want to do my part to help the economy, and in order to do that, and to give opportunities to small businesses who actually want to get their products out on television or distribute it globally.
Well,
so
let
I've
me
been,
just tell you, Peggy Dotson, this is such
yes.
an extraordinary business that you have launched. So I'm going to just take a quick moment to inform those folks out there, you guys listening right now, that you can go to hairradio.com. And we'll put all of Peggy's contact information there so that we know that you're going to be very much interested in being part of this wonderful, these upcoming projects and some of the things that she's working on now. So you just go to hairradio.com, our website, and we have a profile there with Peggy's information and all about how you can contact her to get involved. Peggy, I have to say to you, any final thoughts? You've been such a terrific guest with us on the Hair Radio Show today.
Wow. Well, you know, my final thoughts is I appreciate you taking the, you know, giving me the time to come on here and inviting me. And I know that we could talk for hours because there's so much going on right now.
Yes.
You know, my final thoughts is, you know, about UBC, go like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We have, if you have any questions about new shows that we have, you know, you're free to contact us as an email address, or we are looking for, you know, new shows. I am looking for, for content. And, you know, if you want to join us or whatever, just, you know, like us. And we have to, all I can say is that we have some very exciting things happening and getting ready to happen. We are going to make a major impact in the marketplace.
Yes, you already are. Now, I have to say, Peggy, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to say that we have a I'm making my step into the film world. We have a major announcement that we'll make later on, but I have a division called UBC Films. And I have been able to acquire major distribution in, you know, through Cinemark, AMC, and Regal Theaters to distribute urban films. And so that's, that cannot take on anything else. But, you know, it's like it's something that has to be done because we need more. As you know, right now people are very upset about Selma and the lack of the lack of diversity, and you know that there has to be more diversity, and I think that's happening. Like I said, Reverend Jackson is making a lot of moves in technology, and to help do that. And but you know, there's only besides my company, there's only one, you know, co-black. There's only, you know, there's very few black-owned companies that distribute films. So we are throwing our hat into the ring, and so we will be doing that. And I have some. That's another division that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks in reference to UBC Films and our, you know, entry into that marketplace of film production also, film production and distribution and funding.
Well,
I actually have a separate funding arm that films urban films. We're looking for films 3 to 5 million, up to 20 million. We have funding for you know, anything less, we have to talk about as far as development projects. But we do have, I have a funding arm for that. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we are very excited. I mean, you have so many wonderful, wonderful projects going on, and we're just excited for you. And, you know, so we want to let the folks know that this is going to continue. Go to the hairradio.com website. Peggy is also going to put some special words there for you guys and read all about her and see some of those extraordinary pictures. And we're going to have you back very soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Peggy again, okay. Peggy Dotson of UBC TV Network. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us on today's Hair Radio Show.
Thank you, Carrie. I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
All right, we are back live. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Also want to take a moment to acknowledge our amazing fans who are from every corner of the planet. Also, welcome aboard the newly minted Upscale Magazine Radio folks. Just real excited. Lots of things. We'll get into how to listen and when to listen and all of that wonderful good stuff. Plus, we have our very own 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair radio streaming network that I'm so happy about. Let me take a moment to bring to the line, you guys know he's usually with us mid-show, kind of helps us to keep order and organization with the broadcast. We're going to talk about some of the things we heard today on the Y'all New Hair Radio Morning Show. Otto, good morning again to you.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Doing great, sir. It is Wednesday, April 13th of 2022. It's our show number 697. 697. As we march towards broadcast number 700 in just a few days, literally, on Tuesday, April 19th, we will be here live from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. And we are celebrating the 700. We'll get to 900 soon. The 700 three-hour broadcast, Otto. I tell you, it's just awesome. It's absolutely fantastic. What do you think about that? 700 mornings. Folks have been with me on 700 mornings. What do you think?
Live. It's amazing.
Right.
And it's entertaining, and it's full of knowledge. I'm learning each day. I listen every day, and I enjoy all the content, Carrie Hines. I enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, what did you hear today for folks who are just joining us? They might have missed. We kicked off this morning. Let me just run it down. We kicked off the show this morning. We started this morning with one of my favorite Philadelphians, the incredibly beautiful and talented musician, and you guys know her,
She sang a song, well, the song is called Golden, G-O-L-D-E-N. Her name is Jill Scott, and you guys know Jill Scott. She's done quite a few movies out there. She's done cable shows. She, of course, is still doing music. She's an incredible artist, multi-talented artist, and I'm so proud of her. So the song we played this morning was Golden. Maggie Anderson, of course, reminding us to, you know, buy black hair, you support black small businesses and small businesses in general as well. Also, kind of wanted to remind folks out there about this incredible gentleman who I did not always know his story. I thought I knew his story because you know what happens, Otto? You open up the newspapers and magazines and you just read stuff about celebrities and folks, and you just think you know them, and we really don't. We really don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Matthew Knowles, what an amazing story.
Exactly.
I draw from it is his entrepreneurship. When it was powerful, it's a belief to you. You know, others may doubt or laugh, but when you close your eyes, only you can see it. And I thought
that was incredible.
Yeah, I thought that I can see that in myself, in my own entrepreneurship. And also, you know, he had...
Really?
Learn from failure, mistakes. It's not a reason to quit. And I thought that was... I really thought that was powerful. I go through that myself in different ventures and genres I've tried. And I find most people want you to do good, but not better than them sometimes. So you don't buy into that, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Yeah,
wow,
I enjoy
keeping it real this morning, Otto. Okay. Wow. I'm in shock on that one, then. I love it. And you're absolutely right. I was just going to back it up a little bit, Otto, because folks may not realize that Matthew Knowles is the man behind the most successful girl band, the girl group in the history of American music, really. He is the father of Beyonce Knowles, who's married to rap artist Jay-Z. You know, so this is a billion-dollar couple. And just the fact that we had a chance to chat with him when he talked about his first $1 million. And in fact, Matthew, what I love about this, Otto, is that Matthew Knowles told me right here on this very radio show, told me how when Beyonce was a little girl, she used to go to the hair salon, to her mom's shop in Houston. And so he had forgotten the incredible feelings that he had. To me, he was the first real hair radio. He had run a hair business, type business, and doing the magazines and books. When you go to the hair shows, that like you were at the IBS show in Jacob Javits, we were at the IBS International Beauty Show in New York. Of course, the Brana Brothers in Atlanta and all that, and Miami this year and all these other places. But so he was referring to that type of work for the hair business and hair industry. But they had a big shop in Houston, and I was just impressed with Matthew Knowles and getting to talk with him. Now, you have that statement from Matthew to draw upon. I have a different statement from Matthew that I loved. And I asked him about this on the interview. I don't know if you recall it. It was like the talk-to-do ratio. And I said, Matthew, what is the talk-to-do ratio? I understood everything else, but I couldn't figure out the talk-to-do ratio. And it's something that I still carry with me to this day. What the talk-to-do ratio is or means is that the folks who say they're going to do something versus, you know, you actually carrying it all the way through and doing it, executing it. Because a lot of us say we'll do something and then we don't do it. And unfortunately, the successful people, the successful entrepreneurs follow through on whatever it is that they intend to do. So your talk-to-do ratio is in relative to that. So let's say, you know, and I had to think, I'm in the shower this morning,
thinking, oh, my God, what is my talk-to-do ratio? And my talk-to-do ratio, I would have to say, is well above 90%. But to me, it should be at 99%. Nobody's perfect, but you should really strive to be to follow through on everything that you say that you're going to do. That's what a successful entrepreneur is to me. And I have to say thank you to Matthew for pointing that out in his book that you can Google and it'll pop up. And so I don't know if you heard that, but that's what that meant to me, and that really kind of struck a nerve, and I'll remember that. So I love, you know, relating to Matthew. I didn't know we had things in common, had no idea. And he was just so kind and gracious to me. Then he also, I remember this, he, after the interview, he sends back a message that said he really enjoyed the interview, and he brought his girl group, Blush, the follow-up girl group, Blush, to my show. And yes, he did. So he really liked, you know, the idea of hair radio. I'm like, I had another person who said, what, hair radio, what's that? I'm not going to tell you who that was. I'll tell you another time. I'll tell you on the commercial break. Okay. Because so, that's a big person out there, too. But, yeah, right. All of these things, just very interesting items and tidbits. And to be so close to folks, you know, I'm grateful to God and that they know I exist. You know, it's a great thing, and I work hard to get here, and I'm happy to share a whole bunch of the little path tips I've come across. So I think that's a good thing.
One of the things I see in you, Curry, is what he had said, which was, you had taught me this, passion versus money. When you go about something and you think, and you don't see the money quick, he reminded us passion coexists with work ethic. So I see that in my
wow.
Yeah, I enjoyed
that from him. Wow.
Yes, passion versus money, and you taught me that if you chase the dream doesn't come. You have to do it.
Exactly.
You have to have the passion and to see it, you know, live it, and then you know, we have to believe. You have to just do it like you're doing it, and don't take the naysayers and the different. Entrepreneurship is a lonely journey, but yet there's supporters, and if they don't want to get on your program, they have to get off the bus. They have to.
Exactly.
You know, you can't
I think, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you on that.
No.
I agree with you 100%. The thing about passion and money and all of that, I had one of the individuals that I kind of know out there who, you know, incidentally introduced me to some other folks who I just adore and appreciate and couldn't imagine how they could even know this person, because the person that I'm talking about, I won't mention any names, okay, but was always focused on money, always. And so I met this person. I'll tell you a real quick story about it because we have an 8 o'clock guest coming on, so I just want to remind folks. So who's never been on our show, so in case you guys, just be aware, Brandy J is going to be here. I'll tell you about her in a moment.
Exciting.
I'll tell you the story really quickly. I want to tell you this, Otto, because I think it's very important. This person called me like 5 or 6 years ago about being on the Hair Radio show. And, as a commercial, you know, she advertised and all of that, which was great.
Okay.
But somehow there were some things left on, it was just the account hadn't been settled. I don't remember all the exact details. It was a long, long time ago. It was really about 6 years ago. And so, and we've been on for 7, so with this morning edition. So just that happened, and then they came back. Many of the folks that I discovered along the way, or I should say encountered. So we've, you know, they've done business with our company, or they wanted to do business with our company, and they did or didn't or whatever, but they come back. They come back years later in some cases. And so she came back years later, really. And she said to me, Carrie, you know what I learned from you? She said almost what you just said. She said, I learned, talking about herself, she said, I learned that you always said, to focus on the work. Don't focus on it. And you know what? But I think she heard the words and she learned the words. I don't think she has really learned the meaning just yet. But it's a start. I'll take what we can get. And so, but I tell everybody that because I hate that a lot of folks out there in the, you know, just starting their entrepreneurial journey, they chase, you know, they're chasing dollars. Well, that might be, I started that way too. Let me just say, I understand it to some degree because that's how I started. And that's the thing. Yes, I started that kind of way too. I started when I first created the Hair Radio Show, that's what I was into. I said, oh, there are barbershops on every corner. Let me create the Barber Radio Show. That's what I did. You know, that's how I was at first, Otto. But what changed my perspective, and it's the God's honest truth, I owe it to the people at Bronner Brothers. Bernard Bronner, who was a good friend of mine and business partner today. I didn't know them personally then. didn't know the Bronner Brothers. I knew of them and their incredible history, of course. So I trucked down to Atlanta to the biggest African-American themed hair show, Bronner Brothers. They've been around for over 75 years, I think. And so the thing is, when I got there and the hairstylist, they welcomed me, and I've told this story for you guys out there, so incredibly so. It felt like home. I came back to New York, New Jersey. At that time, I was in northern New Jersey. Came back, totally revamped my business and rebranded it as Hair Radio. Wow. And I've been Hair Radio ever since. I knew that anybody who could welcome me as they did, that was not somebody I was going to be trying to make a fast dollar off. And so right. I've been committed to that since I started. And I appreciate them then. I appreciate them now. Doesn't mean I'm not going to correct them if I hear something that's not quite right. But, you know, it's coming from a place of love and respect. And that's something that you can't bottle and you can't fake.
My
so
mother
I'm
used to.
I'm super happy about that.
My mother used to instill in me the hare and the tortoise, and I could never get that. You know, that slow and steady wins the race, you know. And,
and
older gentleman, I see that it is. It's patience. It's trial and error. It's continuing on. When you get up, just keep doing the next right thing.
Let me tell you something. That is it. And I'm just grateful to God. I really am for the, you know, for just keeping me here and able to do the work that we do and folks receiving it in the way that I've always wanted them to receive it and dream of them receiving it. And as I was saying about Bernard and the Bronners and all of them, I used to, when I first started with in the hair part, I couldn't wait to meet these folks. I couldn't wait. I used to dream of meeting them, honestly. I remember dreaming of meeting Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Alelia. I would read about these folks, and I would say, my God, it would be so great to work with these folks on Hair Radio, but they don't know I exist. How am I going to reach out? How am I going to connect with these people? And so that's what I had a challenge at first. It took years. But at the end of that road, Alelia came to work for me at my show. That's how the universe works.
Yes.
That's how the universe works. So, you know, find your passion, run with it. Don't run after the money. Don't run. You got it all twisted wrong if that's what you're into. You got it so wrong, you don't even know how wrong you are. So
you'll be sorely,
sorely
disappointed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so my thing, you know, folks, just want to tell you, we have to keep it real here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. that's what you get. That's what you get up early for every, you know, each morning to be part of this experience on our broadcast. We love you guys being part and taking, you know, getting up, like in my case, 4 o'clock in the morning. I know you get up about 4 as well, Otto, down there in Jersey. And so, it's quite a bit, but it's all good. Now, I have to tell you about this wonderful lady that you guys are going to hear about in a few minutes. I think she is incredible. She's incredible. It's the first time that I probably talked about domestic violence, I think, in this way. It's a big thing. I've supported the folks who are doing all the advocacy work on behalf of the victims of domestic violence and finding themselves in those situations. I've had it at our live events where, you know, I've had the people from New York City, from the mayor's office here in New York, to participate in my live events and to bring awareness to this huge topic that you just can't imagine reaches the heights that it reaches. I had no idea that so many individuals and folks, you know, really deal with this. And her name is Brandi J. She's quite, she has quite a story, and that's only a part of it. So you don't want to miss it. Coming up at about 8 o'clock this morning or so. You know, just we're having fun here as well. So we're going to, you know, take a moment and talk and just be real. And I love it. Otto, you're doing a great job. Awesome stuff. Great talk this morning. Good stuff.
I appreciate that, Curry.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I better make sure I make these announcements. So folks, hang there with me for just a little while I do this, and then we'll get on a song or something to kind of pick folks up. Friday, we are broadcasting on the 15th of April of 2022. It's Good Friday. So we will be on the air. So I just want to mention live, by the way. I'm here from 6 to 9. Help, and Otto will be here to kind of help hold down. That's this Friday morning. We will be on the air. It's our show number 699 on Friday. And then we skip to the 700th show on Tuesday, April 19th, 2022.
Big day.
Big day. 700th broadcast. So there's a lot. We got everybody. Everybody's coming home. So we're also doing a lot of talk. A lot of new folks, old acquaintances, but yeah, lots of good stuff, and you know, it's just a great time, and we're going to reflect on some amazing memories, and a lot of co-hosts who've been on the show, and guest co-hosts, and folks who have, you know, we've had some folks, I wouldn't say arguments, but we've had a little bit of hot moments here on the broadcast. It's hard to believe, but yes, we have. And but a lot of teamwork and camaraderie, a lot of respect. And there's something about Hair Radio you just don't get from the other podcasts who have tried to emulate what I have created back as the very first original podcast on Hair and Beauty Talk ever in the history of broadcasting. So that I created in 1995 as the Hair Radio Show, and then syndicated myself, as I mentioned, on all of those recordings. So good stuff, good stuff. Lots of things to mention to everybody. I just want to say thank you so much. It's always a great pleasure. It really is. I want to say also Upscale, just folks, please bear in mind, Upscale magazine. I have to shout them out, Otto. I know we're supposed to be getting on the song, and I appreciate that. But Upscale magazine has been around for well over 30 years, and they'll be celebrating a big kind of like a big anniversary, I guess is a great way to say it as well. They're celebrating in August, and I am so hyped for them. I really am. And so I love shouting out them. They are business partners out there. They're doing some big stuff with us as well. This August, they're having their Bronner Brothers show down. I think it's usually in Atlanta, but I think this year it's in Miami. So I'm planning on getting on an airplane and flying on down to Miami It doesn't take a lot, Otto, to convince me to get down to Miami, Florida. It's one of my favorite places.
Especially for such a big event. I mean, it's wonderful. I'm psyched for you, the show and the magazine and everything that's coming up with Upscale. It's really nice.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's awesome. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about more than that. We have a lot to talk about this morning. Hey, coming up in the next half hour, I think, you know, here at Hair Radio, of course, Brandy J is up next. And we're going to talk to her, so I'm super hyped about having her on. I really am. And so we're going to talk about more about Brandy. But after Brandy, I want to kind of get into this. And I didn't know I was going to talk about this morning, but I will. Again, Hair Radio is about hair, beauty, and community, literally. So those are the three umbrella tranches or whatever you want to call the buckets that we pour into here on this broadcast. Every day, literally every day, and today's no different. So I want to talk about community coming up, and right here in Brooklyn, New York. I don't know, you know, I had folks calling me yesterday from all over the country, literally, and I'll talk all about that coming up in the next half hour or so. So you don't want to go. It'll be between 8:30 and 9. I'll talk all about this. That you're only going to hear from my mouth because I'm right here in Brooklyn, New York, where this big, big happening yesterday. There was a big, big shootout on the subway trains and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you all about it. First-hand account from my eyeballs right here. That's my train line here in Brooklyn. So we'll talk all about it. You don't want to miss it. So stay tuned. Coming up after Brandy this morning, Brandy J, let me just say that, Brandy J this morning. So, Otto, good morning. Boy, I just had a lot to say this morning.
I did think about you. You're the first person I thought about yesterday, and I was very concerned. I was hoping. I know you take the train sometimes. We talk about that.
Yes, Otto, we're going to talk about that coming up after Brandy J.
Nice. Okay.
Thank you, Brandy J. So listen, Brandy J, and her story. So listen, folks, we'll take a little commercial break, try to get on a quick song, and then after that, it's time for you to meet Brandy J. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more this morning to go through.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Sway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines. Bring
All right. That was the incredible and indomitable Beyonce. You guys know we had her father on, as we just talked about here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Up now is an interview with this incredible artist who's out there. I'm going to have her to tell you. She's an entrepreneur in every sense of the word, but I'll have Brandy J kind of fill you in on all that she's about. Stay with us, everybody. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Keri Hinds. Now, I have a very, very special guest coming to us, well, from the world of business and, I'm going to say, entertainment. I want to welcome a very, very special guest again to the Hair Radio Show. Brandy J, good morning. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good afternoon. I'm good.
Yes, well, I'm doing great. Well, listen, it's a great thing to have you with us on the show today. It really is. I have a lot to get into with you today. So first, I want you to tell the folks a little bit about your journey. And I had a chance to read a little bit, but, you know, bring us, you know, introduce yourself to our fans of the Hair Radio Mansion.
Great. Well, I am the creator and founder of Lux Curves Magazine. We are a lifestyle publication, empowering lifestyle publication for curvy women of color. And I started the magazine about 7 years ago. I wanted to change the perception of how curvy women of color were perceived in the media based off how I was raised by my grandmother, my mother, and my father. And that what prompted me to launch the magazine after I came back from New York and did New York Fashion Week Plus in 2015. Mm-hmm. So I'm the creator and founder of New York Fashion Week Plus. I did that in 2015. And then from the magazine, I have a media background and went to school for media, and then was kind of skeptical putting myself in front of the camera. My mom was like, you went to school for this. This is who you are. And at the time, I was more skeptical because of my size and, you know, having my third child and things like my second child and all that. So for me, it was more like, okay, just getting comfortable within my skin. And I was like, well, how can I empower other women to do that if I'm not doing it myself? So that's what prompted me to get in the front of the camera, doing on-camera interviews with celebrities. And then that turned into the Brandy J talk show, which I have done 5 seasons of. And right now we're in the process of getting it rebranded and pitched to major networks, and just really showing the world that you don't have to fit the – what they perceive as beautiful to be in media. And I tell people, you know, I'm, you know, curvy, I'm African-American, tattooed, and I'm proud. And I say, this is who I am. And, you know, when you don't have a seat at the table, I always created my own seat and just started my own media entertainment company. So now we have the magazine and the talk show, and I do other women empowerment events throughout San Diego, L.A., New York, and in the process of developing other shows for my company.
Yes. Well, first of all, you have a personality of, you know, for the ages, really. I was just blown away. So bubbly and just wonderful, really. And
thank
I
you.
Believe that, yeah, that's what I believe connects with everybody. I know that. So, yeah, so first of all, like, I have to go back a little bit, because where did you get that, you know, that certain something that, you know, that you're going to, you know, just be yourself and have people accept you for who you are when there's so many messages? So
oh,
many
my
messages
God. It was my grandmother. She was... She did not bite her tongue, hold her tongue. Like whatever she wanted to say is what she said. And with me being the youngest, and I'm the only, there's about 14 grandkids, and I'm the only one who looks like her. So I came out with her hair texture, her skin color, everything. Oh. So in my family, they call me Little Sarah. So I just like, you know, so obviously she gravitated towards her Little Sarah. So she helped my mother and father raise me, but she was the one who really instilled the confidence in me, and defended me and protected me amongst, you know, family members who would say things. For example, like my sister and my cousin, they will always tell me, oh, you're the white sheep of the family because you're light-skinned, and dad is not your dad. The milkman is your dad. Like, they will say these things to me as a kid. And one time my grandmother was over my house and growing up, and I went in the house crying, and I told her what happened because she asked me what was going on. And then she was so blunt. She told them, she was like, don't get mad because she's a house and y'all in the field. And I'm just like 10 years old and my grandmother's saying this, and she was and she said things like that. And she will also just tell me, you know, don't let no one make you feel different from how God made you. This is who you are. It's not like you could go and tell God, you know, give me these eyes, give me this skin color, give me this hair. And, you know, she was like, always be proud of who you are. And she was the ultimate, to me, curvy woman. Bold, outspoken, elegant, classy. Like, my mom and dad, we would have parties growing up, and my grandmother and my aunts would come in furs and diamonds. And it was, to me, that was normal. Just seeing a powerful, curvy woman in her skin, loving who she was and didn't care. So that's where it started, from just being around my grandmother growing up. And, you know, when I was younger, my dad at 10 put me on my first diet. I didn't think nothing was wrong until, like, I told my mom, I said, I remember the day, like, he called you and he told you, don't feed, you know, me and my cousin. He was bringing us something home to eat, and I'm thinking of something great, and he brought home these salads, and he had us sit in the corner and eat the salads while the other kids were eating, like, hamburgers and hot dogs. And at that time, you're like 9 and 10, you're like, well, what's going on? And that's when he was like, well, you need to lose weight. And my mom and my grandmother, I remember yelling at him. And that was the trigger for me, like, what's wrong with me? And that started my journey with having an eating disorder and just being harder on myself about my weight. And then other things that started happening in my life, you know, from that moment. And it just really just made me just sit back and be like, okay, I'm not going to be skinny like my sister. I'm going to be who I am. So how do I embrace it? And it was at the age of 15 when I just said, forget this, I'm tired of this. And I embraced my curves and my thunder thighs and thick thighs. And when I started saying, yes, I'm proud of my thunder thighs, no one could say anything. And I always tell people, if you put your flaws out there and accept them and say, this is what I have, no one can say anything about it.
You know, I love your words, and they're so positive and, you know, just inspiring. And, it's awful that you have to put what you might perceive to be your flaws, because, you know, the way I look at it, and Brandy, I look at it this way. I look at it that the very things that you may think are your flaws, to me, those are really, folks call it your superpower, folks call it your gifts, all of those things. And I really believe that that is what you're put here to work with. It is the thing, you know, and let me tell you, I just going through your story, just, it's unbelievable. And the fact that you have such a positive attitude and just always, you know, just being so full of positivity and wanting folks to, you know, embrace, you know, themselves the way they are, what have you, it's unbelievable. And just, you know, I take my hat off to you. And just having, so, you know, to come from a dad doing something like that, or calling in names and all of this, doing far more damage than any type of weight could ever do. Let's talk about the way things have kind of maybe a little bit have maybe changed. I'll say they've changed, but what do you say, Brandy? Do you think folks kind of still look at it? It's a little bit more acceptance these days. Did you find that, or do you find that?
I honestly, I'm just going to be candid with you. I find it that they're more accepted to it if it come if I'm just going to be candid if it's on a white woman than it is a black woman.
Ooh, okay.
So I do feel like, and I've always been vocal about this in the plus size industry. You know, there's so many beautiful black curvy women, and I always tell people it was our body types as black women that started this industry. Because we were, you know, we have, you know, thick thighs and small waist and big butt. Like, this is naturally who we are. This is in our genes, in our DNA. And we started the plus size industry, but if, you know, you have white women be a part of it, then it goes bigger. And then they get the recognition of doing all these great things. And you, and I'm looking at it from a standpoint of there's so many other black women who's been in the industry longer who have paved the way. But we don't get the recognition, the right recognition as we should as white curvy women. Because when they do it, oh, it's a trend. And I'm looking at it like it's not a trend. This is our lifestyle. This is who we are. And we've been doing this since birth. This is just, you know. And I'm very vocal about that. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason probably why everyone has always said, you're not at the level of success you need to be at because of you being so outspoken and vocal. Again, I said, I'm being honest. So I'm going to be authentic and be honest to who I am because that's how you make change. And that's why I started my publication featuring curvy women of color because I'm like, this is who started this industry. This is the woman that needs to be recognized. And if God gave it in me to do it, I'm going to do it. Has it been hard? Hell yeah, it's hard. You know, I'm a single mother. You know, I've had, you know, two ex-husbands who try to destroy me. You know, my first ex-husband was physically abusive, physically, emotionally, and sexually abusive to me. My second ex-husband was emotionally abusive and financially abusive. And I was able to get out of the relationship, the marriages, and come into my own as a woman and as a single mother and still do everything I have to do for my brand. While, you know, supporting my household and, you know, still working a full-time job and doing all these things. So for me, it's more like I know God put me here to do this, and he said it wasn't going to be easy, but at times it is hard. And he does put me in positions to where I have to continue to keep going even when I don't want to. It was, you know, last year my daughter's father, my first ex-husband, died of COVID. And I was the one who had to plan his funeral.
You had to for the person who was physically abusive?
Yes. And it didn't dawn on me until my brother said something. He said, he was like, sis, like, do you realize what you're doing? I said, no, I'm just, you know, doing what's right, you know. And he was like, this man tried to destroy you. And, like, he beat you and try to, you know, kill you and do all these things to you. And here you are, you know, we have been divorced for 18 years, but, you know, here you are planning this man's funeral, handling all his affairs to the point that his family didn't do it and the mother of his other kids would not do it. And, you know, they both said, they were like, we could not do what you did. Like, how you handled this with such grace and elegance.
How did you handle it like that? Like, how? Wow.
Honestly, I would have to say I did it for my daughter. Because, you know, she's 20, and losing a parent, I know that pain. I lost my father 7 years ago. So, and you know, her being 20 and she, you know, she has ADHD and epilepsy, her maturity level is always 2 years behind her actual age. So even though she's 20, she has a maturity level as an 18-year-old. I knew she could not handle this, as mm-hmm. the pressure, as the stress, as everything. So as her mother, I said, I have to take this off of her and carry it and put everything aside. And, you know, when people found out and they're like, you really are healed, I said, I forgave this man years ago.
Mm. Awesome.
And I said, at the end of the day, he's a human being.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I have to let me just bring everybody up to speed. Folks, if you're just tuning in, again, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. And my very, very special guest is Brandy J, and you guys know her. She's the amazing, I'm going to call you an entrepreneur to the max.
Thank you.
Yeah, and what I also love, you've had some challenges, as you've shared. I mean, that's an understatement. But I love how you just have a big heart. You've done a lot of things to help folks who have been in similar situations, you know, and I'm just blown away. I really am. I'm almost speechless. I think about what you did just to even start your magazine. You know, I'm just, it's just amazing to help women who you describe as, you say, the word curvy. So what exactly does the word curvy mean? When we say a woman's curvy, to change it up a little bit, what does the word curvy mean?
Okay, so when I got into the plus size industry, I got a lot of hate from within the industry. And I was told, you're not big enough to be plus size. And I said, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, you have a flat stomach and a small waist. And I said, okay, I can't help the fact that I'm built like this, you know, but I said, I'm not a size 2. You know, at the time I started the industry, I was size 16, 18, but I still had like, it's a blessing, I guess, you know, a flat stomach and small waist. It's how majority of the women in my family are built. Even, you know, my niece, who is a size 6, but she has small waist, flat stomach, and thick thighs and a big, like, it's just who we are. It's just how the women in our family are built. So when they were saying that to me, I said, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm not big enough to be considered plus size, so I'm not skinny enough to be considered skinny, so what am I? And then I just sat back and I thought about it. I said, well, I'm curvy and thick. So when I launched the publication, and it's Lux Curves, and it's for, I always say curvy and plus size, because they don't like to group us in together. It's either you're curvy, you're plus size, or you're BBW. And I always tell people there is a difference between the three. And
tell us what that difference is.
So BBW is going to be a big, beautiful woman. And I'm not a BBW. I would never consider my size a BBW, because it's morally like women who are, I would say, 300 and up pounds, depending on how their body is shaped. You know, you can Google BBW and you'll see them, and you're just like, okay, they have plus size women who, you know, they're just naturally plus size and they're thicker. And then I say you have curvy women who are just, we have the small waist, the small stomach, and we have the thick thighs. We are shaped like a Coca-Cola body, a bottle that's curvy. So I always educate people because they like to lump us all together. And I tell people, like, I'm not a BBW. Like, don't call me something I'm not, you know, and or whatever. So once they are educated on it, they have a better understanding of the industry and just, you know, why I decided to separate it out from curvy, plus size, and BBW.
And this is an industry. Let's make no bones about it. It is an industry. How do you describe the industry to folks who, you know, may not realize that there is an industry that really celebrates women who are curvy?
We kind of lump them into, like, we lump ourselves into the plus size industry, because that's kind of like the only industry right now that is, you know, anytime you, like, have, like, fashion shows or anything and it's a size, you know, 12 and up, 10 and up, it's considered plus size. you know, so that's what the standard term is. So even when I've done my fashion shows or modeling, I always have to say plus size models because that's what the models are trained to think of, you know, for them because they are plus size. And I started, you know, rebranding and changing things just to say curvy and, you know, just be proud of your curves. So, you know, and just embrace them. And I tell people, I never want to be a size 2 or 0. I never want to be that size. I will look like a freaking crackhead. And it would not look good on my body frame. And I tell people that all the time. Like I just said, you know, I love how God made me. So am I in the process of toning it up? Yes, because I like to work out, go to the gym, and I want to tone it up. I'm 42 years old. You know, I want to make sure, for one, I never look my age, and I'm just a healthy version of myself.
Absolutely. And the other thing, let me ask you a question. Let's turn it around the other way. Do you ever think that would it be nice not to have these labels? I was just, as you were describing all of this and you were breaking it down as I asked, and I appreciate it, I was just thinking, I said, I can't even imagine as a guy, you know, being, I can't even imagine like somebody asking me, well, Carrie, you know, how does it feel? What, you know, with the different shape and your, we just don't get that kind of judgment. We just don't. Now, maybe at a certain point in age, you know, we get the dad bod type, you know, thing. That might be the worst we have to deal with. I can't imagine that you're constantly, your whole life being judged by your appearance. And I think it was your grandmother who, you know, you did not choose your appearance. And a lot of it has to do with our hereditary and physiological, you know, background or what have you. It just, it boggles the mind that this country, that the world, and for a lot of the different places, are the same way, where this, you know, you have so much to contend with as, you know, in terms of a female trying to just be accepted. Like, it's mind-blowing to, you know, to the guys out here who take the time to listen to the stories. I'm just blown away with this show. Listen, I have to tell you, Brandy, my guest is Brandy J. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Yes, well, you check a lot of boxes for women and for guys, too. I'm going to go ahead and put it on out there. As an entrepreneur, as someone who's trying to make a difference, and not just trying, you are making a difference, I think it's incredible.
Thank you.
It's absolutely incredible. So I just love it. And I love, we've got a few guests in common on some of the folks who've been on our shows. So I'm just loving that part of just looking at some of your things. I said, wow, how awesome. Oh, yes, I'm loving this. So now what is next? I know you are shopping your show around. I get it. Believe me. But what are some of the things long-term that you see Brandy J accomplishing?
Wow. One thing I want to do, I will do, I want to have a community for women of domestic violence. So one of my goals in life is to have like a community where they can come and live, you know, secretly with their family, with their kid, to get their life together. And then we offer them, you know, training for jobs or starting their own business and having funding to help them start their own business. That's one thing I've always just been passionate about, because when I went through my situation, I didn't have anyone. I had to get out of it myself. Even my family wouldn't really help me. So I'm, you know, young single mother, and I had to get out of it myself and rebuild my life and put myself in therapy and do all these things to help me not allow that situation to destroy my whole life. And I didn't want to be the victim. And I don't label myself as a victim. I'm a survivor of it because I survived it and I elevated. You know, this man didn't want me going to graduating college, didn't want me. He thought, you know, I'm leaving, you know, I left him, and he was thinking, well, if I'm not a good father, you can't do what you need to do because you're going to have our daughter. He wouldn't do a lot of things when he was alive. He wouldn't see her. He wouldn't do so many things, and it never stopped me. Like, I still graduated college. I still did what I needed to do and be who I needed to be, not only for myself, but for my kids. So for one, that's one thing. another thing is I really want to just really continue doing what I'm doing and change how media perceives us. And that's why I'm so, you know, determined to have my show picked up by a network, because I don't look like everybody else. I'm not, you know, this big-time celebrity who, you know, was a singer and then turned into a talk show host or was an actor and turned. I'm just an everyday woman who said, I'm going to break barriers. I'm going to do this, because there's so many women who are like me out there, you know, who came from where I came from, who continue to do what they need to do. And it's important for us to have, you know, us to see us on TV. And that was one thing growing up for me. I didn't see anyone who looked like me. I didn't see anyone who looked like me, who went through what I went through. So there was kind of like a disconnect. And then that's when you see, oh, you got to be blonde, blue eyes, have this, have, like, no, like, that's not who I am. You know, I, you know, California, San Diego, you know, grew up here, tattooed, do this, do that. And for me, and I'm 42, and I came out at 39. And, you know, now it's like when I tell my story of coming out as far as, you know, being attracted to women and things like that, there's other women who are my age who are like, oh, my God, like, I'm the same way. How did you have the courage and things like that? So I am not your average person. Like, you know, I'm not your average celebrity or things like that. I'm just someone who people can relate to, who's not afraid to tell her story.
Well, it just seems to me that you have just you've allowed yourself to just develop literally and just to let it be your own original journey.
Yes.
And I just find that incredibly fascinating. And you're, to me, what really jumps out, the word is courage. You've been courageous every part of your life. And I think it's incredibly, yes, it's, to me, I don't know how folks can. Yeah, of course they can relate to you, you know, immensely so, very much so. So this is just amazing. I do want to go back to this because I want to. You talked about being a form, you know, a former victim, a victim of domestic violence, if you will. So what do you say to others right now? Because I was, you know, it's not just sadly, it's not just women, but primarily mm-hmm. women, of course. There are folks in all kind of relationships who are dealing with domestic violence, but to particularly to the women who might have children or small ones that they're caring for, what would you say? What can we tell folks who are going through something like this and may feel like they don't? Because what you hit me about your story, you were saying that you had no one to turn to, and even your family didn't offer the support that you probably, you know, that you really needed. So what words of encouragement might you tell folks, you know, particularly women who are finding themselves in this situation?
I knew at that moment I deserved better, and I knew that I loved me more than I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want my daughter to think that was love.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, not having the support of my family, and figuring a lot of things out on my own, I didn't care. Like at one point, my mother at the time and father, they were not going to let me come home to get my life together. And I said, well, fine, if you're not going to let me come here, I will go stay in a shelter. Like I did not care. Me and my daughter and I were looking for shelters, and it was my aunt who finally told them, like, what in the hell is wrong with you? Like, she does not, this is not a situation she needs to be in. There's no way in hell she should be looking at shelters when you guys have two extra bedrooms in your house. Like, this is your daughter. Would you rather, and this is what really changed their mind. She said, would you want to get a phone call that your daughter and granddaughter is dead?
Oh, my God.
And then when my aunt said that, it struck a nerve. And then they let me and my daughter come home. And my dad was like, well, you have a year to get your life together. And I said, okay, not a problem. He's like, you got to be out of here in a year. And I was like, all right, Dad, whatever. Like, I'm the youngest, but the other two, the middle and the oldest, they get treated completely different than what I get treated. I've always had to get treated harder than everybody else. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I did it in 6 months. I was out.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm gone. You know, and it was the strength I had within myself And at this time, my grandmother was, she already passed. So I had to just channel her and look within myself and just be like, okay, Brandy, you got this. And at the time, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was young. I was 22, 23. And, you know, figuring things out. And I just did it. Because at the end of the day, like I said, I love me more than I love that whole situation. That I loved, okay, him trying to say, well, you know, you're going to leave the house. You're going to leave all these things. And no one's ever going to want you. And, you know, you're damaged goods. All those things he said to me. And I thank God I had the confidence within myself that my grandmother instilled in me that I channeled. And I remember looking at him and I'm saying, you think no one's going to want me? And I laughed. I said, you just don't know. And then he went to work one day and I packed up the house and he came home and me and my daughter were gone.
Amazing. Amazing. And I love what you said about creating a safe space for other women who are finding themselves in this type of situation. This is a long-term dream. I love it. Listen, I have to just, again, I am literally at a loss for words when I go through your story and hearing you describe these things. It's amazing because, like I said, you have an amazing personality. It reminds me of that, what folks say, you know, you would never know behind the smile.
I get that a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you just would never know, you know, but that also serves a purpose. It really does. And so, I think it's to inform people or remind them or let them know that you can get to the other side of that. And that's what I think that the buoyant personality, I think it shows and demonstrates. So listen, I've got to say, yes, well, very much so. So listen, is there anybody, I know you've given us a lot to take in this morning on the broadcast, but any encouraging words that you want to leave people with, anybody you want to shout out to this morning?
Any encouragement? Of course, I always tell women and men, no matter what you're going through, you have to love yourself more to get out of that situation. And know it's going to be hard. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. It's going to be hard, but you will be so at peace knowing that you did it. And I tell that to women and men all the time. Like, you know, it is hard for me. You know, living in San Diego is not for the weak.
Right. Wow.
California is expensive, and you need three incomes to maintain a comfortable living, and I'm out here doing it with my income, raising my son and helping my mother out and doing all these things because at the end of the day, I know that God is going to find a way, and he always has found a way for me.
Absolutely.
And when you know your purpose in life, it's not going to be easy, but you gotta go for it. You know, got to keep going. And I just want to thank, you know, my mother, my kids for always being there and supporting me. And, you know, my son, he's 11 now, wiping my tears, you know, and telling me when he was younger, Mommy, you got to keep going. You got to do this for us. You got to do it. And even now, he's, you know, the youngest, and he's with just me and him, and he's just like, Mommy, you got this. Like, you got this. And, you know, to my amazing partner, you know, we've been together for 2 years. She's just really been an amazing person to me and pushing me out of my comfort zone to do better and to do more. And, you know, my sisters, you know, and my circle, I have tremendous great women in my circle, my sister Amber and my sister Val and, you know, my life coach, Amber Lachey, they're all just great, and I just really want to thank all of them for not allowing me to give up on me.
Wow. Wow. I tell you, Brandy J, you've got everything going on. We love it here. We really do. You've got the magazine. So how can folks, you know, find out more or connect with you? How would they go about doing it?
So you can actually go to the magazine. It's luxcurves.com, and that's Lux, L-U-X-E, curves with a K. .com, and then you can email us at info@luxcurves.com, and then my team will send it to me. and think, you know, if there's a way you want to work with us or, you know, you want to be featured, just let us know. And then, you know, probably within the next couple of months, you know, I'm actually in the process of filming a new project for my company, my production company, and I'm going to be doing more things with my talk show. So I have a lot of things coming up. So if you guys just want to find out where I'm at, just go to info@lexcurves.com, and then we'll get back to you guys.
Loving
or you can
it.
Follow me on Instagram at Brandy J. Curvy, and everything is Brandy J. Curvy, and that's Curvy with a K.
I love it. And, of course, you can reach out to definitely to Brandy J. through us. And that's part of what I wanted to just say. Listen, I have to just say welcome to the incredible Upscale Radio Network. We love Upscale Magazine.
Yes.
And we appreciate them so very much for putting everything together. Of course, my team at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And, of course, our 24-hour network as well at hairradio.com. So I just want to say thank you. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Not that you need anybody to push you. You just go on and keep you just do it all by yourself. We love it. So, listen, we are your friends here, and you stay in touch with us, and we'll keep the fans and everybody informed of all the wonderful things that you're on to. So Brandy J.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. All right, folks. Keep it right here. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. Stay with us, everybody.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back on live, folks. Yes, I'm Gary Hines. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show. And just been doing quite a bit. That was Brandy J from out on the West Coast this morning on the show. Quite a story. And want to hear from you guys. I got some feedback on the interview with Brandy J. Want to kind of find out what you guys out there think about what you heard. And we'll talk a little bit about it. Let me just bring back to the line. First, Otto. Again, Otto, one of our great contributors to the broadcast right here each day, literally. Let me just get Otto on. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. Otto, good morning again, and thanks for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show on this Wednesday morning, April 13th. We're live, folks, 2022.
Much.
It's about 8:42 a.m. Eastern. Just wanted to get that on out. Otto, what did you think? I have to kind of toss it on out there.
Wow. It's genetics and environment, I believe. You know, that's our makeup. And when you go out the door, you know, you are representing, good or bad. And if your circumstances aren't so great, find the power to change, strive to be a better version of yourself, like Brandy did. and, you know, break the link, basically, if things aren't going. And some of the things were so nasty that she heard, you know, I think she rose above. And
Yeah,
so nasty. And it's a setback, you know. If in my own life, sometimes you have to take the labels off, brother, sister, you're taught to love. But look at the words and the behavior. And I would walk across the street from some of the things I heard and said as a child. So sometimes family, you know, can hurt, you know. So be yourself and, you know, just keep going. Brandy was wonderful, wonderful interview.
She was quite, she told her story. One part, I said, oh, okay. You know, like,
yeah.
I think I asked her a question and she gave me such a response that I didn't expect. I asked her a question about something, and she said, about, you know, being, you know, as she called it, curvy, and her magazine, it's Lux Curvy. But just, I asked her that question, and then she's like, it's different for white women. And so she was just very frank. She said she did preface it by saying, you know, I'm going to be frank here. And I love that. I love that folks can be honest with what they believe their stories to be. And so she talked. The other important aspect that she shined a light on is domestic violence. And I want to always keep this, you know, on the burner here. And, you know, I love that a part of her dream is to create a space where she's able to take women, you know, and families into this space, you know, to keep them safe from, you know, abusive relationships and things like that, abusers. So, you know, I'm going to get her back here because I thought she was explosive, quite frankly, and in a good way. And,
right.
You know, she definitely woke you up, folks out there, with what she had to say. And, and I don't think she was doing it. She wasn't, I didn't get that she was just trying to be volatile or, you know, incendiary or say incendiary things just for the heck of it. I thought she was really being insightful and really telling a personal story. So I shout out to you, Brandy J. And what that tells me is that we need to have some discussion. So I'm looking at working on a special story about domestic violence that we will air over on our streaming network. So just like we did the story recently on parents in prison, Hair Radio is about hair, beauty, and community. So we want to make sure and shine the light on all of these different things. We'll do some lighter topics too, folks. We have some fashion things coming and some hair stuff on the way as well in coming days. And, you know, I just want to take a quick moment and give a shout-out. We have one of our avid listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show. He listens every day, and he's a big part of our success here, being a producer himself. I'm talking about the we call the irrepressible Michael Hopkins. You guys know him better as the host of Vet Talk Radio Show, which airs on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern, and then carried over to a two-hour Tuesday streaming special every Tuesday from 9 to 11 at hairradio.com. And so we're so excited about that, hairadio.com. You can catch that there. Again, Tuesday, their show number 32, and our Hair Radio celebratory show number 700 will be on Tuesday. We're talking about April 19th, so definitely tune in for that right here on Blog Talk from 6 to 9. So the shout-out this morning is to Donna out in Cleveland. I just want to say, Michael wanted to say welcome to the incredible world of Hair Radio as a brand-new listener. And we have lots of folks out in Cleveland. I myself, I've been out to Maple Heights. We had one of our special guests on from Maple Heights, Ohio, which is right next door. And Annette Maxwell, I remember when Annette Blackwell, she was running for mayor, actually, in Maple Heights, Ohio. And she came on our show at Hair Radio when she was just running, and she actually won the office. So we always shout out her. She's been on our show several times. Again, Annette Blackwell, so happy out there and to have folks in the Cleveland, Ohio area joining us and being part of this whole experience this morning on Hair Radio. So, Donna, welcome, and we hope to have you soon as a guest. And we'll, you know, we'll talk, and I hope you had a great time listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have a test on what you heard. We'll have Michael talk to you about that. Listen, thank you again, folks. So so I want to say this. So, Otto, this was huge,
yes.
though. This was a big story this morning. And
yes.
I promised before we got to Brandy J, I promised that we would talk of some of the other things that were happening out here in Brooklyn, New York. I'm based in Brooklyn. I'm up here in the Brooklyn, New York area. Otto, our wonderful morning contributor, our wonderful folk who Otto joins us every day here on the show. Otto, you're in outside of Philly, the Philadelphia area, in Jersey.
Yes.
South Jersey.
Yes.
Okay. Not too far from Trenton and all of that, correct?
Right.
Okay. So listen, I have to, and the reason I make that clear for folks is because yesterday here in New York, I'm going to talk firsthand, folks. I'll make it quick because, you know, we're kind of winding down this morning from the Blog Talk live show, and then we're going to send you over to www.hairadio.com where you can continue to listen. We are on over there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Great stories, great guests, interviews, celebrities, all that great stuff over there coming up. But in this case, Otto, I don't know if you don't really have, like, you're not a big TV person. I don't think it's a secret out there for our listeners. Trust me, I'm not either. Yesterday, what I normally do, I turn the television on. I have several TVs here in our little production office and my little office here that we use so we can stay on top of events that are unfolding. And I normally keep the sound on because I don't like the news per se, like people out there for the most part.
Same here.
And so, I kind of turn it down. So if I see a big banner, but the thing is the news, if you watch your local TV stations, everything is a breaking news story. So you can't even wait for that anymore. The whole news, sometimes I joke around because every time I look at the news here in New York, everything says break, and I'm like, well, hold it. If your newscast is on at 6 o'clock and the news is happening now at 6 o'clock, it's, you know, it's the news. That's what your news is. Your news is the news. So that's my take on that. So I get all, you know, twisted on that part. But when I heard about this yesterday, and I'm referring to, in case you've been under a rock, so to speak, there was a huge shooting here in New York City on the subway train. There was like some kind of smoke bomb type thing, I guess, was happening. And there was a fellow, last I heard of interest, I don't know if he's been apprehended just yet, but it all happened right near my home, right near our big studio office here in the headquarters of Hair Radio. In fact, if I ever leave my house, I live right across the street from the train station here in New York City. Again, you folks out there in small rural town America might not understand this, but we have subway trains that go underground, but I live near the train that's above ground, but which is only about a good 15, 20 minutes from the exact spot of the situation yesterday. And I've transferred trains there many, 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 many times where those folks were running up the steps. You can see them getting off the train. I've been right there. That could have been me. It was during the time that most of us would be traveling to and from different little locations. It's just to give a point of reference for folks who are from outside of Brooklyn or outside of New York. It's near the Barclay Center, right near the Barclay Center. It's the stop before the Barclay Center, quite honestly. And that community over there, largely Latino population for the most part. There is, you know, you have some other folks over there, but pretty much it's a Latino area. And I used to go over there to the gym and just to hang out and get some great food and amazing folks over there. So this was quite a shock and quite a bit to take in. And yeah, so believe me. So I just wanted to tell you personally, New York City, it takes a lot more than that for us. We don't just pack up and we're out of here. This is our place, and we belong here. And whatever help this person needs, I hope he gets it and gets it quickly. But more importantly, the victims out there, they need to be supported right now, and their families. And so please Google this story if you have not. And I don't know if you heard about it down in Philly area, Otto, but it's something that I got so many messages yesterday. And I want to just thank everybody. Lionel Williams, who has been on our show a dozen times, you know, a great friend to Oprah Winfrey and so many other celebrities out there. He checked on me yesterday just to make sure I was okay. Sam Enon from BOBSA, B-O-B-S-A, the Black Beauty Association people, Black, the organization called the Black Owned Beauty Supply Association. I got to get it right. Sam was checking to make sure I was okay. And so I thank him as well. He's out in Oakland, California, up north out there. So, you know, we have friends all over America. Plus, I had friends from Africa, literally from Africa, from Ghana. And I want to thank Ebenezer for checking on me as well. I'm just grateful to folks. I thank you so much. So
I did hear it. I was sitting at the diner in a TV, and I heard Brooklyn, and my head spun because the first thing I thought was Curry Hines. And I was hoping, and we talked,
and
I
case,
was...
It really was very close, super
right.
close to home. Most times I
right.
can avoid and then pretend I don't see it, but this was too close for comfort, to be quite frank. So
that's awful.
Listen, Otto, I just want to first let me just say this. I want to thank you for being an incredible compadre on this broadcast. You've been incredible, great contributor this morning, awesome content, awesome commentary. Our fans all over the world, literally, I want to say thank you to all of you. To our amazing legacy advertisers, folks like Rugged Evolution Beard Care and FixYourFeet.com. Of course, we want to welcome our local and new advertisers, Shanta, who's been on the show recently with her Organic Love Collection. She'll be back soon. And hopefully we also want to thank, of course, Brandy J. How can we not thank her? And all of you, again, for being part of this experience. We'll be back tomorrow on Thursday for an all-new edition. It'll be our show number 698 on the 14th of April of 2022 as we march towards a big celebration on Tuesday. So lots to talk about. Now, we ask at this time that you keep it moving on over to our 24-hour network. Now, coming up today, you've got quite a bit. We've got some classic shows happening over there. We're going to be doing a playback of today's show at noon and 3. And today it will play. Okay, so at noon and 3 o'clock today, you'll be able to hear this show again at www.hairadio.com. Tomorrow, we're talking about Upscale Magazine. I will fill you in first on Upscale Magazine, Upscale Magazine Radio Network, what I'm doing, what you'll be doing, how you can hear it, who's going to be on it, and so much more. You'll need to tune in for that. Again, we'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, for an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's been my great honor to welcome you to our home today. Otto, I think we had a great show. What do you think?
Absolutely. I'd like to welcome Donna from Cleveland, a new fan, and you'll enjoy it. And I just want to thank you so much, Curry. Thank you.
You got it. Great job, Otto. All right, folks, here's the outro. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 6 a.m. sharp now, for a new installment. Make it a great, great day. Great Wednesday. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's that Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is